The satyogi is one who realizes that the entire world is made of consciousness. It is nothing but consciousness projected outward. And if it sees something it doesn't like in the world, it is its own consciousness in projected form that it is not liking. And once one recognizes that the world is only one's own shadow, then one will stop projecting a shadow and will realize that what one took for a world is actually only divine light, an infinite luminiferous ether, Parabrahman, filled with divine energy, information, power, and joy. That is our very essence, our nature. We swim in an ocean of blissful light, and we are nothing but that ocean itself, in the form of waves of joy, waves of wisdom, waves of healing power. The only obstacle to that realization and liberation into the infinite blissful self is the attachment to the ego mind, the attachment to finally refinding the lost object, to getting the love from the lost mother, or getting vengeance, or getting some kind of superiority, power over another, rather than the power of unity and of love and of joyous celebration of communion. And once one recognizes that the ego's goals are futile, petty, and unreal, and can never lead to anything but bitterness and suffering, one releases oneself from the self-imprisonment in the ego's empty world, loveless world. And it eliminates the blocks that it has put in against its own liveliness, its own intelligence, its own greatness. But that greatness, it recognizes, can only be realized to the full when the ego's very identity, its very sense of I-hood, is completely and utterly surrendered to pure presence. Only once the narrative voice that accompanies every moment of the ego's life and determines its labeling of reality as something lacking, only when that voice stops leading one into the perdition of a false consciousness, only when silence has replaced the noise of the ego's chatter, is the salvation from the ego's illusory world possible. And thus the one highest priority of the satyogi is the silencing of the mind and the refusal to externalize one's attention. One remains centered in that level of consciousness in which there is no need, no lack, no desire, no other. One remains in the absolute center point of presence without thought, because thought is movement away from the present. Thought is centrifugal. Meditation is centripetal. And once one reaches that center point, that zero point of absolute presence without ego, without thought, with knowledge, with intelligence, but with no need to thought, no need to think, no need to leave the center point, because all is known from that point, and only from that point, only from that peak, that summit of consciousness, does one have a complete vision of all that is with accuracy and with freedom from prejudice and distortion and blind spots that create the bad karma and the holes that the ego is always falling into again and again. But from that peak, the holy mountain of God consciousness, the silent stillness of the infinitely intelligent presence that is God, is realized as the self, and life becomes miraculous, eternal, completely without any need for body, for particularities of situation, without any desire, without any fear, but always in the ultimate joy of the novelty of God's own creativity in the form of nature, in the form of Shakti, in the form of that beauty of divine love that brings ever new experiences that reflect back the divinity of the self and allow ever greater organization of that divinity into communities and worlds and galaxies of divine beings. Worlds upon worlds of God consciousness at play, the fields of the Lord are without end. But to have the passport to that world of God consciousness, one must turn in one's egoic residency documents. One must stop believing that one is simply an earthly and bodily being. One must be free of all loyalty to the egoic mind and to the various internal and external others who have given the ego its false identity and condemned it to its suffering. Our loyalty must be to God consciousness, and to freedom. And once having gained freedom, to transmit the reality of that freedom to all beings, to unlock every cell in the prison of our planet and allow all beings to regain their divine essence that have been lost through the indoctrination into a false system of belief. We must live beyond all belief, beyond the mind's ability to entrance us into negative states. We must live in that super consciousness that cannot be brainwashed or indoctrinated or persuaded to believe in falsehoods or persuaded to betray itself, to be enslaved to any system of non-love and untruth, but to remain indomitable, victorious spiritual warriors who bring the power of truth into the world, first freeing themselves from the bodily symptoms that are the signs of their enslavement to a set of traumas that appeared in childhood and from which one has not recovered one's power, because of one's refusal to grow up. It is in that leaving of childhood behind, finally, internally, and to recognize that the power of real divine consciousness is yours to wield at any moment. The sword of truth has been given to you, but you must use it to cut your own bondages, your own umbilical cord to infantile projection and transference and self-hatred. You must cut all the bondages of the mind that hold you trapped in feeling states of inadequacy and allow the consciousness to expand to its full infinite and glorious, luminous intelligence.